we'll have a meal together after the Sunday morning services. I always enjoy that very much, so remember that. I know most of you are aware of the death of Joe Terrell, a dear friend, pastor who's preached here many times, and everyone remember all the people associated with that. There's so many people, and the Lord's in control of it, and the Lord ordained this. And that's really what gives us comfort in all things, is that the Lord is God, and He brings good out of evil all the time. And the greatest illustration of that is the cross. That's the most evil thing to take place, when the Son of God was nailed to a cross, brutally murdered. And what good came from that? I've entitled this message, A Man Born Blind. I think this is so powerful in this 59th verse. Then took they up stones to cast at him. They were going to stone the Lord. They hated what he said. They wanted him dead. They picked up the rocks and were getting ready to throw them at him, to put him to death. But Jesus hid himself. Now, how all this took place, I don't know. But they couldn't see him. Did he blind them? Did he just blind them with regard to his person? I don't know. But he hid himself so that they could not see, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I like to think, what happened? These fellows holding the rocks. Where'd he go? What happened? He didn't have a clue. He so passed by, and as Jesus passed by, this happened right then, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, what I am so amazed by is the sight of the Lord. Even at this time, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Now, being blind from birth, this man had no concept of colors, of shapes. He'd never seen a face. Blind from his birth. I can't even imagine that. This man had never seen. He didn't have a concept of what anything looked like. Blind from his birth. A fit emblem of you and me and everybody else. Born spiritually blind. No concept as to who God really is. Oh, we believe in God, but we have such a small view of Him. Having never really seen Him. No concept, no sight of who we really are. We have an inflated view of ourselves, don't we? The smaller we view God, the bigger we view ourselves. And it's a false concept. We really have no idea. Blind concerning salvation. No true understanding of how God saves sinners by Christ, by His grace. Spiritually blind. This man had never seen. Verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a question. Who do we blame this to? Was it this man's fault that he's born blind? Did he commit a sin in the womb? Was he just extra bad? Or is this some kind of punishment God's meeting out on his parents that he was born blind? You know, there are STDs that cause the children to be born blind. Is that God's punishment to the parents to have their children born blind? Who did sin? This man or his parents? Somebody's to blame. Surely somebody did something bad. Who's to blame? Now, this question is a mixture of sanctimonious self-righteousness and stupidity. That's all you can call it. Nothing else. Every time you have seen someone and thought, what did they do to bring this on? You've asked the same question. I repeat, sanctimonious self-righteousness and stupidity. Jesus answered, neither. I love this answer. Neither. Hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work as long as I'm in the world. I am the light of the world. Now, the Lord is not saying that this man never sinned. He sinned in Adam. He was born a sinner. He's not saying his parents never sinned. He's saying this took place that God would be glorified. And do you know that is true of every single event? God brings good out of evil. Now you think of the tragic circumstances of this man being born blind and he ended up being a beggar. What a wretched existence this man experienced. How tragic. Who sinned? Neither. This took place that God would be glorified. Now, I don't know how the Lord is able to make everything work for His glory, but He does because He's God. And I don't need to understand. I just need to know He's God. This thing that took place with Joe Terrell, God will be glorified. God is glorified. How? I don't know. I don't need to know. I trust the character of the living God. He is God, all sufficient, all powerful, all wise. He brings good out of evil. Verse 6, when he thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, picture this in your mind. He makes some mud, and he smears it in the man's eyes. Mud in your eye? That's going to give sight? Well, what the Lord is teaching us is He always uses means. This is the use of means. And there's, what about when He just healed people without means? Well, I know He did that too, but this is talking about the means of being able to see. He always uses means. The preaching of the gospel, His word. And what I think is so glorious about that is He works in spite of the means. You see, I can't see how smearing mud in somebody's eye would help them to see. But you know, the Lord shows more power in the use of means than without the use of means. Because when He's using those means, it's in spite of. If He uses my preaching, it's in spite of me. Not because of me, it's in spite of me. And that's the Lord's use of means. He glorifies Himself through the use of these weak means. He makes mud and He smears it on the guy's eyeballs. Verse 7, and He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Christ Jesus is the sent one. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now I think of this. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. How's he going to get there? He's blind. Did he ask somebody to lead him there? Perhaps. But he got to this pool, bent over where the water was, washed his eyes, and for the first time he saw. Can you imagine that? All of his life he'd been in darkness, and he saw. How amazing must have that have been for that man. He sees, he had no concept before. If you had tried to describe something to him, he couldn't have understood it. But now he sees for himself. He saw. And washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, verse 8, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, that's impossible. He's like him. But he said, I'm he. This is the first words we hear from this delightful man. I'm he. No, I'm not some other man. I'm he. Verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that's called Jesus. He didn't know him any more than this at this time. A man. He didn't know he was the Son of God. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. He gives a very accurate description of what took place. Then, verse 12, said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. I don't suppose he'd ever seen the Lord, even after he was given sight. He comes back, the Lord's not there. He doesn't know what he looks like, but he knows a man called Jesus made mud, put it in my eyes, and I was given sight. Verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Why did they bring him to the Pharisees? So all this would take place. And we're given this glorious gospel message from this man born blind. That's why they brought him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. I love the way the Lord did most of his miracles on the Sabbath day. It would tick the Pharisees off so much, and I think he did it for that reason. It was the Sabbath day when he made this mud and put it in this man's eyes. That's working. That's working. He knew the Pharisees' response. Verse 15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. What an amazing miracle. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. How ridiculous. How utterly ridiculous. He couldn't be of God. He's not keeping the Sabbath day. He made the Sabbath day. He knew what the Sabbath day was. They didn't. They didn't have a clue. But all they can do is accuse him of law breaking because of their hatred of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't be of God. He's broken the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And really, they were still in the dark, even though they said better things. Because all they saw him was a man. How can a man who's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And you know the Lord always brings division, doesn't he? He said, I came not to send peace, but a division. That was his word. And there was a division among them. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. He's a prophet. I mean, he didn't know a lot, but he knew this. He's a prophet. But the Jews, verse 18, did not believe concerning him. They decided not to believe. Unbelief is a decision. If you don't believe the gospel, you've decided not to believe the truth. The will is involved in unbelief. They saw this miracle. They did not like what they saw. So they decided to not believe. The Jews, verse 18, did not believe concerning him that he'd been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" Now this is so sad. His parents answered them and said. Now remember, these are the parents of this man. This is a boy. He was born blind. I'm sure that was a very tragic day for them when their child was born blind. And now he's given sight. Instead of rejoicing and being happy, look at their reaction. His parents answered them, verse 20, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake the parents because they feared the Jews. They were so intimidated by these religious people. They feared them, and they wouldn't come out openly with regard to their son. Now, this is the control that human religion has over people. It's tragic. And you resent them for this. But look what it says. Verse 22, "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." That means excommunicated. And that would make you a social outcast, a pariah. There would be certain things monetarily that you would lose out of that. You wouldn't be allowed to trade with it. There's all kinds of horrible things that happen if you get excommunicated. And these people saw the effect that would have on their lives. And so they chickened out. They said, "We can't say anything about him. Ask him." You see, the Pharisees had already agreed that if anybody confessed that this is the Christ, he'd be put out. Let me, as the Lord enables me, Jesus is the Christ. What does that mean? Jesus is the prophet. He is the word from God. If you're ever going to hear from God, it's going to be through him. And you're going to hear that he is the word of God. He is God's message. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. He's not like these human priests who bring animal sacrifices. He brings the sacrifice of himself. And these men who call themselves priests, who supposedly represent other men to God, they can't represent him to God. That man can't do anything for me, but this man can. He's the priest after the order of Melchizedek. What a king he is. He's not some paper king with an empty title. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Christ. He's God's Messiah. He's God's Christ. Jesus is the Christ. If anybody confessed that, they were kicked out. They wouldn't do it. Verse 23, "Therefore said his parents, he's of age, ask him." Then again, called they the man that was blind. This is the Pharisees. And they said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man's a sinner." They're real concerned about God getting the praise, aren't they? "Give God the praise. We know this man's a nobody. He's a sinner." That's what he is. That's what they thought of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this man's answer. He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know,
that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, I've heard sermons on this verse of Scripture to let you know how little you need to know to be saved. This guy, I know this. I might not know anything else. I know whereas I was blind, now I see. He wasn't saved yet. He didn't know the Lord yet. We're going to see that as he was physically cured, but he didn't know the Lord because the Lord asked him, "Do you believe I'm the Son of God?" He says, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?" He doesn't know yet. He'll come to know. But I love the simplicity of his answer. "You're all making all these accusations against this man. I know this. I was blind, and now I see." Verse 26. "Then said they to him again, 'What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?' He answered them," I told you already. I told you exactly what took place. "And you didn't hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" I have no doubt that this man was using sarcasm at this time. He'd had it up to his neck with these guys. He said, "Are you wanting to be his disciples too?" He knew they didn't, but he was just kind of saying that to dig it in a little bit. I love this guy, don't you? "Will you be his disciples?" Verse 28. "Then they reviled him and said, 'Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this nobody, we know not from whence he is." Where did he go to seminary? Where was he born? What's his credentials? "We've got Moses. We're disciples of Moses. We don't even know where this guy's from." Verse 30. "The man answered and said unto them," herein is a marvelous thing, "that you know not from whence it is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." Now, and he makes a very powerfully true statement. "Now we know." Everybody knows this. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." Now this man had an understanding that God is just. Everybody's born with that knowledge. He doesn't hear sinners. Now I'm thankful when we learn the gospel, we find out that's the only people he does hear through Christ. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Paul said, "I am the chief." That ought to be my favorite verse. It ought to be your favorite verse in all the Bible. But this man knew that God is righteous. Someone can't come into his presence apart from being righteous. But somebody that, I love what he says, worships him and does his will. Isn't that what a believer does? He does God's will. He believes the gospel. And he worships God. Now, did he understand everything he was saying? I don't think at this time, but what he said was true. He said, the only folks God hears are people who worship him for who he is and actually do his will. And every believer does his will. He believes the gospel. Now, he says in verse 32, "Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" I guess, as far as he knew, and maybe this has never happened before. This is unprecedented. That somebody born blind, maybe he didn't have eyeballs. I don't know. But he was born blind and God opened his eyes. That's never been done before. He says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they excommunicated him. They cast him out. You know, for some reason, I don't think it bothered that guy a bit. The Pope's excommunicated you. Oh. The most top Baptist preachers cut you off. You're in trouble. Oh. I don't think it bothered him. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they cast him out. You know, this man had not yet seen the Lord. And someone came to the Lord and said, you know, that fellow that you gave sight to, he was excommunicated. He was cast out. And I love the way it says Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when he found him, he went looking for him. The shepherd going after the lost sheep. Somebody says, I found God. No, he wasn't lost. He found you. Aren't you thankful? He found you. And the reason he found you is he's looking for you. And he's not like me, of course. But when I start looking for something, I can't find it. And you can ask Lynn about it. It's right in front of me. I still don't see it. Lord's not like that. He always finds who he's looking for. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now this question is asked to me and to you this morning, right now. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He did not know. Who is he? You know, the only time I'm going to believe is if he makes himself known. Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the man that lived here some 2,000 years ago, was died on a cross and was raised from the dead, do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he's the creator of the universe? Do you believe that he's the only savior of sinners? Do you believe he's the second person of the Blessed Trinity? Do you believe that he is Lord? That he's God the Son? Now this is the issue. This is the issue of faith. It's not what you believe about yourself. It's what you believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that he is God the Son? Do you believe that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in his body? Do you believe he's the sovereign of the universe? Do you believe he's all powerful? Do you believe he's all wise? Do you believe he's independent, having need of nothing, in absolute control of everybody and everything and every event, and the only Savior of sinners, the only way to God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? I hope somebody's saying that right now. Who is the Son of God that I might believe on him? Verse 37, And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, verse 38, Lord, I believe. And he did what everybody who believes does. He worshiped him. Now let me say this about worship. You will only worship an absolute sovereign over whom you have no control. You know you're in His hand, and He can do with you whatever He is pleased to do. That's the only one you'll worship. Now, if you think you can manipulate Him, if you think you can do it, that's not worship. You bow down and worship like the leper did. The Scripture says, behold, the leper came and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. That's worship. Lord, I believe. And He worshiped Him. Verse 39. Now here's the Lord's conclusion to this. And Jesus said, for judgment, I am come into this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Now here's the Lord's conclusion to this story. I've come for judgment. This is talking about God's judgment. I'm come for judgment. And He gives a twofold judgment. If you're blind, you see. If you see, you're made blind. Now what does that mean? When people first hear the gospel, and I'm talking about the gospel of grace, I'm talking about the gospel of God electing a people before time began, of Christ dying for the elect and accomplishing their salvation, of God the Holy Spirit coming invincibly and irresistibly and giving them life. That's the gospel. Something without that, someone says, well, is the gospel a more simple message? That is a simple message. It's salvation by God. All three persons of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, He must save you. He came to save the elect, those the Father gave Him. God the Holy Spirit gives Him life. Why didn't He save everybody? If He could have, why didn't He do it? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. Why didn't He save everybody? And what we mean when we say that deep down is, He ought to save me. There's something about me. He ought to save me. We think, this is not right. But when God reveals Himself to a sinner, that sinner sees for the first time that there's nothing about him that would recommend him to God. He sees for the first time that he has nothing to bring to the table. He sees for the first time that God would be utterly just if He passed him by and let him go to hell. He can't see. He cannot see any reason as to why God would save him. That's the person God saves. Somebody else disagrees. This is not right. And they can see, well, God should save me because I, fill in the blank, whatever it is. God should save me because I can see why God would save me. I did this and I stopped doing that. And I changed and I fill in the blank. Christ says, that person's blinded. Under the judicial blindness of God, the lights have gone out. If they continue in that, for judgment, I come into this world that they would see not. I can't see why God would save me. You know, before God reveals Himself, everybody's God's judge and God's critic. I don't think God should be this way. I don't agree with this. Oh, but when you're given the understanding that God would be just if He passed you by, oh, you see things differently, don't you? Verse 40. Some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, are we blind also? I think they said this sarcastically. Are we blind also? They heard the Lord's words and the sarcasm just drips from their language. Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. Wow. What a statement. If you were blind, you'd have no sin. Because I took your sin away. That's the only way you can have no sin. I took it away. Everybody that's blind and can see no reason in themselves as to why God would save them, listen to this. He saves for Christ's sake. No other reason is needed. You have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. It's there for good. If you can see why God would save you, because you did this or you did that, your sin remains. God will meet you on the ground you choose. Christ or your works. And there can be no mixture. It's either all Christ or all your works. What ground do you want to come on? I want to be like this blind man. May God give us grace to be blind that we might see. Let's pray. Lord, your word, we stand in awe of your word. We stand in awe of your Son. We stand in awe of your gospel. And Lord, we ask in Christ's name that we might be enabled by your Spirit to say with this man, I believe and worship your Son. In his name we pray.